हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
The next verse describes the result on meditating on the Lord in separation. O Vidura, thus always meditating upon her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva, she very soon became unattached to her nicely decorated home. So the idea is that she's in that environment, so it's there if you want, but by performing devotional service, then the attachment for her goes away. So that's the point. So if it's there, then you can say you're not interested. If it's not there, then you may think that you might want it. Does that make sense? So therefore, the things are there. Right? Because it's already there. She didn't go out and buy that. You know what I'm saying? So it's already there. It's just maintained. When then Devahuti thought, grieving and separation, my mind cannot give up seeing the Lord as my son. Going to a solitary place for a moment, concentrating my mind, giving up the idea of my son, I will practice meditation as Kapiladeva taught me. Thus she meditated on the form of the Supreme Lord. Thereafter, having heard with great eagerness and in all detail from her son Kapiladeva, the eternal smiling personality of Godhead, Devahuti began to meditate constantly upon the Vishnu form of the Supreme Lord. She did so with serious engagement in devotional service. Because she was strong in renunciation, she accepted only the necessities of the body. She became situated in knowledge due to realization of the absolute truth. Her heart became purified. She became fully absorbed in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all misgivings due to the modes of material nature disappeared. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman-realized soul, she was free from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus, all material pangs disappeared, and she attained transcendental bliss. Right? So that's the whole point. When one gives up the material designations, that means that all problems with the material world should go away, because one doesn't make material designations. Right? You only see things in connection to the spiritual. If you're making distinction on the material platform, that will always give you pain. But if you're only seeing things in connection with the Lord, there'll be no pain. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, she thus attained characteristics which indicate bhava bhakti, excluding the third level in jnana of merging, tvam tat, the jnani's knowledge of tvam and tat, you and that, becomes suitable for the devotees as knowledge of the worshipper and the worshipped, knowledge of the devotee and the Lord. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, jnana vairagya yor bhakti pravesha yo pago pravesha yo payo gita. Jnana and vairagya are somewhat suitable at the beginning of bhakti. The seventh level of the Astanga yogis, jnana, or meditation of the yogis, becomes most suitable for the devotees as the third item of the nine types of bhakti, smarana. For Devahuti, taking the jnana of the jnanis and the meditation of the yogis, according to the idea that the swan eats the essence in all things, end quote, she followed those practices since they were included in bhakti. Thus it is said that she used jnana, jnanena, brahmahetuna, and in verse 23 it was said that she used meditation, jnana gocharam sutta. Then the secondary systems produced by bhakti are described as we already mentioned. So the bhakti quickly destroys the subtle body just as the digestive fire consumes food. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-33. Because she attained the condition of destroying the calamity of the jivatma, which means ignorance held in the subtle body, all suffering was destroyed and consequently she felt bliss. Or because of being the Lord's mother, she was by nature free from ignorance. Thus the statement merely indicates a condition in the spiritual world, as in statements such as Ayam Atma Apahata Pa'ma, the soul is without sin, Subalu Upanishad. Right, so using the essence, what's the important elements of whatever the practices are, that's then applied in the devotional process, because the essence is always connected with the transcendental. Right? In anything that's there, the essence is connected with the Lord. Does that make sense? So then it's a matter of looking at that, like, you know, we're saying in the columns, and there's strength. And strength is the quality of Krishna. So that's pervading this as Brahman. But it's there that he's pervading that as Paramatma, as the universal form. And then why is that there? Is that because of Krishna? And then why is he doing that? Because he wants to give an opportunity for the living entities to come back to him. Right? So then you can always take it back. So you just take the essence of whatever is there. Right? We don't get distracted by the secondary. Secondary is useful only in as much as it produces an understanding of the primary. Right? Otherwise, the secondary on its own is not important. Just like is a pot important. It's only important if it can produce some cooked item. If I have a kitchen with first class kitchen with all pots and all that, but they never cook, then what's the point of it? Right? So the whole point is, and you only use something for as long as it's necessary. How long do you keep the pot on the fire with the boiling water? Only as long as necessary to boil the item that you want to boil. After that, it's taken off. It's not that you sit there and then watch the water bubbles in the water all day or something. Is that it? Situated in eternal trance and free from illusion, impelled by the modes of material nature, she forgot her material body, just as one forgets his different bodies in a dream. 27. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that he has no remembrance of his body is not bound to material existence. As long as we are conscious of our bodily existence, it is to be understood that we are living conditionally under the three modes of material nature. When one forgets his bodily existence, his conditional material life is over. This forgetfulness is actually possible when we engage our senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the conditional state, one engages his senses as a member of a family or as a member of a society or country. But when one forgets all such membership in material circumstances and realizes that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, that is actually forgetfulness of material existence. Yes?
So how do you find this balance? Because sometimes we see that the devotees, they artificially try to renounce the needs of the body and then they get sick. So
no, but that's renunciation. Here it's talking about forgetting. Right? Because their renunciation means you're focusing to not accept something. Something available, you're not accepting it. Right? You can't renounce something you don't have. Like you can't walk into some rich guy's mansion and then standing in the middle of you know the first room then announce in a loud voice that I renounce this house. You know, it probably wouldn't go down too good. You'd probably see those funny guys in black suits with those little things in their ears coming over to you. Right? So then that's the here is that you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so there's nothing to do with the body. It's not that you can't use the body, but it's not about the body. Right? Just like you're absorbed cooking for Krishna, You're just thinking about Krishna and the cooking and all that. You're not thinking about that I'm doing this cooking, or I'm in the house, or I'm this member of the family, or it's just you forget. So then that's why that time is nice, because you're not on the bodily platform. You're not in material existence. So here on this state, it's being mentioned that she's come to that platform as something sustainable, by her yoga practice, following the Shankya yoga. She's come to that platform.
So the stage comes naturally, and that means in our case, when we feel the needs of the body, we have to, in some sense, give the food as much as necessary.
Yes. So you do, but the point is then it comes, there's just a habit. And then you don't have to worry about it. As was said before, the material energy will just take care of your body. You just engage in service. The opportunities will come up to, you know, because taking prasad is also service. Right? Sometimes you get, oh, eating is maya. No, it's service to Krishna. You know? So it's just a matter of you see it connected to Krishna or you don't. That's the... So, this forgetfulness actually occurs when one renders service unto the Lord. A devotee no longer works with the body for sense gratification, with family, society, country, humanity, and so on. He simply works for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is perfect Krishna consciousness. So it's not that they're not aware of what's your body, what's the next body, what's the wall, what's the stairs, you know, like this. It's because it's a matter of they don't identify with the body, that that's them, and that their purpose is to use that body for sense gratification. Right, so that's what's changed. Yeah. So it's a simple thing, because we think, oh, that it's just you're sitting there and you're just floating in Brahman. That's how the Maya bodies will think. You know? It's just a matter of you're only engaged in devotional service. Devotee always merges in transcendental happiness, and therefore he has no experience of material distresses. This transcendental happiness is called eternal bliss. According to the opinion of devotees, constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord is called samadhi, or trance. If one is constantly in trance, there is no possibility of his being attacked or even touched by the modes of material nature. As soon as one is freed from the contamination of the three material modes, he no longer has to take birth to transmigrate from one form to another in this material world. Okay. Her body was being taken care of by the spiritual damsels created by her husband, Kardama. Okay, that answers that question. Okay. Who is changing the sheets? Okay. And since she had no mental anxiety at that time, her body did not become thin. Right, because before there was anxiety, she was becoming thin and all these things like this. When there's no anxiety, then one doesn't. Sorry? Remember before, when she was anxiety, when she was beginning the process, she was becoming thin and all that. But now she's not, because she's not in any anxiety. Yes?
Why was she in
anxiety? Because you're still within the material world. Right, and you're being... trying to become detached, her son's not there, all these different things. But then she comes to the transcendental platform. She's not seeing it, the separation from her son on the material platform. She's just being absorbed in the Lord. Right? We know from the position that then thinking of the Lord, it's not on the material platform, but they're showing by example how this is done. Right? Does that make sense? She appeared just like a fire surrounded by smoke. Because she was always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she was not aware that her hair was sometimes loosened or her garments were disarrayed. My dear Vidura, by following the principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage, and she achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul without difficulty. Footnote 17. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 30. In this verse, Brahma Nivarna Sukham refers to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the verse can mean that Devahuti attained Kapila, her son, in Kapila Vaikuntha. Yes. But she was still having anxiety when it was from that angle. When she gave that up, because that's what it mentioned. Right? That's where we started. Right? She started from that. I'm thinking of the son, my son's not here. If he just thinks of him as the Supreme Lord, then all those anxieties go away. So it just means she's following the process very well. So anybody can do it and do things very quickly. It's just a matter of how much you're focused and determined. Right? She's more qualified. She does it a little quicker. Also, it's not giving a time frame here. It just means that it's happening. Because for them, you know, they don't technically have, I think, a specific lifetime. Now, it's not like us where you have 100,000 years or something when you do meditation and stuff. The place where Devahuti achieved her perfection, my dear Vidura, is understood to be a most sacred spot. It is known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada. Dear Vidura, the material elements of her body have melted into water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go bathe there. 28-32. Now we just have to find out where is Siddhapada. Well, wherever Siddhapada is, there's probably a river right next to it, and then that's the river. Verses 33-37. Kapila's travels and final benediction. My dear Vidura, the great sage Kapila, the personality of Godhead, left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother and went towards the northeast. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens known as Charanas and Gandharvas, as well as the Munis and damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respects. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of residence. Even now, Kapila Muni is staying there in trance for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the three worlds. And all the Acharyas, or great teachers of the systems of Shankya philosophy, are worshipping him. My dear son, since you have inquired from me, I have answered. O sinless one, the descriptions of Kapila Deva and his mother and their activities are the purest of all pure discussions. The description of the dealings of Kapila Deva and his mother is very confidential, and anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is carried by Garuda, and he therefore enters into the abode of the Supreme Lord to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. 33-37. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 33, the narration of Kapila Deva and his mother, Devahuti, is so perfect and transcendental that even if one only hears or reads this description, he achieves the highest perfectional goal of life, for he engages in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt that Devahuti, who had the Supreme Lord as her son, and who followed the instructions of Kapila Dev so nicely, attained the highest perfection of human life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes his commentary on third canto as follows. Being ignorant, I do not know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, but I have made a commentary according to my intelligence because of a desire for its association, offering respects to all living beings up to Brahma in the universe. I ask for their mercy. Having been made capable of understanding it, I have completed the commentary in the third canto on the bank of the Jamuna River at the foot of a desire tree in Sri Vrindavan on the eighth lunar day of Ashwini month. Parishishtam. References from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns the following verses to Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala, chapter 13. Sadhana bhakti executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki namashraya sadhana bhakti, which is within the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offer him obeisances, or even remembers him. Oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. 6-7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala, chapter 14, analysis of unfavorable conditions for bhakti. Bhakti Pratikula Vichar, which is within the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. I believe, my Lord, that you are our Lord Vishnu himself under the name of Kapila, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman. The saints and sages, being freed from all the disturbance of the senses and mind, meditate upon you, for by your mercy only can one become free from the clutches of three modes of material nature. At the time of disillusion, all the Vedas are sustained in you only. I'm not exactly sure here. The only thing I can think is that they're only seeing him as the Supreme Brahman. Right? So that's not going to be favorable for bhakti. Right? Because then you're just seeing him as Brahman instead of as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, but then they say the Supreme Brahman after that. We generally put Brahman before. So there must be an element that they're not seeing the higher level of the Bhagavad as opposed to the Brahman aspect. You know, otherwise, why would it be unfavorable? No, but that's what so we're saying. Yes, but the point is, are they going to do service? Where's the service in here? They become just freed from the disturbance of the senses, and they're freed from the three modes of material nature. They're not going beyond that. Do you see anything in here about where they're talking about devotion, getting his blessing for devotion, pure devotion, relating to him as... So that's the point. So only seeing up to here means getting to this point is favorable as long as you keep going, but if you stop at this point, then that's unfavorable. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, I'm going to Calcutta, so then I've been progressing, I got to Runagat. Now when I get to Runagat, I decide that this is fine. Then now, even though getting to Runagat was progressive, favorable to her devotional service, now that I'm staying there, it's not favorable. So, please.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura.